For those of you who are new to our congregation, I didn't just pick Psalm 23 out of the blue. We're having a quite lengthy series of messages. It's through the Psalms. It'll only take us 150 messages. This is where we're at. We're on Psalm 23. And as we look at it today, may it minister to your soul. May it minister to your spirit. May God renew you by His grace. You know this psalm. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask the Lord to take this so familiar a psalm and make it fresh in our hearts to renew our soul. Father, we're grateful to You for Your fillings and Your many fillings, for Your purgings and Your many purgings, for You can't fill us until You purge us. You can't do Your work in our lives until we let go and let You have Your way. We can't, Lord, be casual and be filled. We have to say, Lord, please transform me. Don't let me be any longer conformed to the world. Let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord, bring us there. Take us there. Let us follow You there. In Jesus' name, we thank You for being our shepherd who restores our souls. Amen. There are certain psalms that stand out. They stand out above all others. Psalm 23 was written by a shepherd. A shepherd as well as a king. Who would have ever predicted that the youngest son of Jesse, who began his life out in the fields alone, away from Bethlehem, working as a shepherd boy, that he would become the greatest earthly king this world has ever seen, that king of Israel, the most unusual king, that man after God's own heart, that king that we've always identified with ever since our childhood. David, the shepherd king, has had our attention since we were little toddlers. We heard about David and Goliath. Wasn't that our favorite? David and Goliath. I still like it. It's one of the greatest truths and stories in the Scriptures. It seems that when we go to David in Psalm 23, he's always home for us. He's always waiting quietly to teach us. He's always waiting there, if you will, with the light on in Psalm 23. What a glorious passage this is. What glorious words these are. They come to us with a theme. And the theme today I want to focus on is restoration. That God wants to restore our souls. They come to us with a cadence. They come to us with a glory that makes us feel better. And almost always, if we listen to the words, Psalm 23 makes you feel better. I just want to give you something. It's okay to read something in Scripture that makes you feel better. Anybody here ever like to feel better? Good. This is a psalm you can always read and reread. Read it in every translation you want to. It'll always make you feel better. Because it reminds you of how much God loves you, that He's your shepherd, and He wants to restore your soul. I especially love Psalm 23, not only because of that, but because I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. And I have a shepherding vocation in my soul. You say, well, what's the shepherding vocation of our souls? Well, the shepherding vocation of our soul is the bottom line of who we are when no one else is looking. When everything else, when the bottom falls out of our lives and there's nothing else, there's one thing that we never quit being. It's our DNA. It's the bottom line. It's the vocation of our soul. David was a brave soldier. He was a triumphant king. He was a mighty warrior. He was a sacred songwriter. He was a father who often failed in his task. And yet at the bedrock of who David was, he was in his heart and in his inner soul a shepherd. That's what he was. The ministry of the inner man in David to our souls is the ministry of the Lord as his shepherd. And this shepherding vocation of David's soul began originally way out in the fields where he was alone, where it wasn't like the Bass shepherds around here. There are always two of them together. He was there alone, and he was there alone with God. And God not only encountered him and he encountered the Lord, but they had intimate communion together. Often when God wants to reveal himself to his people, he uses a figure of speech, but there's none I know in Scripture that he uses any more often when he wants to describe himself than a shepherd. He has chosen to reveal himself to us as a shepherd, as the good shepherd, as the great shepherd of the sheep. He wants to reveal himself to us as the chief shepherd who is coming again for his flock. He's going to take us home in the rapture. He's taken us home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a day it will be. Now, as I look at this passage, not only is shepherding a vocation we can all relate to, it is probably, back then and even today, one of the least of all favored vocations. You don't hear people saying, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd." No. It's not a highly esteemed employment. God wants to meet us here in this role of shepherding our lives by the intention of the Holy Spirit. He's going to use a lowly employment, a lowly job, to picture us. He wants us to know him as our own personal shepherd, as our own tender, compassionate protector, the one who's ever present to care for us and to care for his flock. And what a blessing it is to know the Lord as my own personal shepherd. I hope you know him too. And he wants to use shepherding as his relationship to us. He wants to get nearer to us in a shepherding way. There's a lowly loveliness about this psalm. There's a lovely and lowly sweetness to it. And there is a humble tenderness here as the Lord has inspired this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And Paul talks to Timothy and he says to Timothy, if any of you desires to be a shepherd or a pastor or an overseer, he has desired a noble thing. It's a good thing to want to be a shepherd. But I also want to tell you that noble as it is, it's a lowly occupation. And to shepherd is to use all of your gifts that God has given you to feed the flock, to rescue lambs, to bring them into one true flock and fold. Shepherding, however, can be very, very difficult. I think there's a program on television. I don't know if it's still there. It's called Dirty Jobs. Have any of you ever heard of Dirty Jobs? Well, this is one of the... I've never seen it or heard of it being used, that we're going to film Dirty Jobs and we're going to look into the life of a pastor. But it's like weeding your garden. And I've been doing that this week a lot. I have a busted thumb because I've been weeding my garden. And I just want you to know it's a dirty job. And yet, the benefits of shepherding are beyond words. It has rich benefits. And because of those rich benefits, and I'm not talking about economically rich, I'm talking about the rich benefits. Being able to shepherd someone, to see them come home, to see someone like a man this week, 70 years of age, come to know Jesus as his Savior and to work in his life and to see what God did in his life. I'll tell you what, that's a rich benefit. That's a rich, rich, rich benefit. And so there are many wannabe shepherds. But God has a name for them. They're not shepherds at all. They are hirelings. They're not out looking after the sheep. In fact, they care nothing for the sheep. All they want to do is fleece the sheep. They want to get fat off the sheep. A shepherd, however, loves his sheep so much that he lays down his life for the flock. Psalm 23 is a shepherd's prayer to the good shepherd that brings blessings to all of God's shepherds and all of God's sheep. David wrote in these six verses touching words that poetically describe the life of a lamb in the care of his shepherd. And I hope today you'll be a little lamb. I had a brother, Chuck. We called him Chucky when he was little. And Chucky had a song he always sang when we would go to churches and minister, when we used to do that when I was down in Kentucky. We'd go on deputation. And it came time for Chucky to sing. And he would get up as a little three-year-old, and I could hear him belting it out. He would say, Jesus is the shepherd. Guess who I am? Such a lovely secret. I'm his little lamb. And I want you to be one of his little lambs today. I want you to listen as a little lamb as he comes to restore your soul. I want us to enter into a time now when we say, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put everything else out of my mind because I need God to restore my soul. I want us to listen to familiar words that we have often heard. And these words describe God's ministry to us as a shepherd. And no one could have written these words with the same graphic meaning than a shepherd who knew the good shepherd. He knew what it was to care for sheep, and yet he needed God to care for his soul. The last time I preached on this message, I was called by my sister Ruth. She called me to say that Bob had gone into the hospital, that he had cancer throughout all of his body. My brother-in-law was told he wouldn't even live a week. And I was with him when he died. He died in 3 days. He was gone, just like that, my brother-in-law, Bob Phillips. And Ruth said to me the next morning, we went out to Perkins. And as we went out to Perkins, she said to me, would you do the funeral message? Would you do the funeral? I said, I would. I said, do you have anything you want me to preach on? She said, you know, Bob always talked about the Lord as his shepherd. Would you preach on Psalm 23? So I did. And I got back that week, and when I got back to the church, some of you may remember that I preached that same message with very little variation to the flock here. And so before I tell you what God wants me to preach on today out of this same passage, I want to remind you of what I preached then, because it was a good message and the points are good. There are only 12 of them, because there are 12 basic needs that God provides. And I just want to very quickly tell you what they are. They're all about our wants and needs. Why can we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Number one, I shall not want. Why? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Number two, I shall not want for refreshment. Why? He leads me beside the still waters. Number three, I shall not want for restoration. Why? He restores my soul. Number four, I shall not want for guidance. Why? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Number five, I shall not want for courage. Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Number six, I shall not want for comfort. Why? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Number seven, I shall not want for supply. Why? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Number eight, I shall not want for protection. Why? The table you spread before me in the presence of my enemies, that's the place of protection. Number nine, I shall not want for power. Why? You anoint my head with oil. Number 10, I shall not want for joy. Why? My cup runs over. Number 11, I shall not want for goodness and mercy. Why? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Number 12, I shall not want forever. Why? I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's a good message, and I preached it twice in a row. But I'm not going to preach that one today. I've wanted to look at this psalm afresh, and I knew when I started this series, when I got to Psalm 23, I wanted God to let it be fresh from me. I wanted it to be something I had never said before, things I had never thought of before. I wanted Him to speak to me and restore my soul and give me something fresh to give to you. And so I began to try to look at it in a cohesive whole. I wanted to look at it in a more integrative way, and I began to break it down in an integrative way into a different kind of peace. I began to organize it into three major blessings that we have when we are safe in the care of the shepherd of our souls. There are three major blessings of having Jesus as our shepherd. There's the blessing of our shepherd's presence. There's the blessing of our Savior's or our shepherd's protection. And there's the blessing of our shepherd's pathway, pastures, and pilgrimage. And that's what I'm going to share with you now. Let's jump in. First of all, the blessing of our shepherd's presence. If you'll notice in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The relationship David had with his shepherd, that the shepherd had with him, was intensely individual. Can you say those words? Can you know in your soul it's true? The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to understand about me. I hope it's true about you. God knows me inside out. He knows the PAC in me, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the PAC, but it's just a little way to get to know yourself. And that is, within every little child, even that little child that plays with dolls, there's a parent. You watch them try to be a parent, even from the time they're just little kids. Have you ever noticed that? There's the adult that wants to be grown up. Then there's the child. And then you get my age, and there's still a parent, and there's still an adult, and still in me, there's a child. And every part of that is who I am. And when God ministers to me as my shepherd, He's my shepherd, He's individual, He knows how to touch me in every one of those areas of my life. And He touches me in each of those areas for His glory. You can know this psalm flawlessly, and yet not know the application of it in your daily experience. There are literally millions of Americans that say when they come to them and they ask a poll, are you a born-again Christian? They say they're a born-again Christian that knows the Lord as their Savior. They don't know anything about Him as a shepherd. They don't follow Him. They only had an experience of saying yes to Him, asking Him in their life. He is not shepherding them. They're not following Him. They're casual. They look like the world. They act like the world. And they go to church once in a while. If you say the Lord is my shepherd, that means you're following Him. You're following Him. That's more than just saying He saved me. You now have begun to follow Him. You're part of His flock. Now, the first recognition of the blessing of the shepherd's presence is our identity with the Lord as our shepherd. Beloved, I want you to know, if the Lord is our shepherd, why is it that if He is our shepherd, we're carrying the weight of the world around on our shoulders, we're trying to fix everyone, we're trying to fix everything in our house, in our marriage, we're trying to fix everything, and we say, I can't do it, it's too much for me. The problem is, we're not the shepherd, He is. We sing, if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, and brother and sister, He will carry you. It's a nice song to sing, but do you let Him carry it, or do you leave church, go home, and still keep trying to fix it? And it's too heavy. You can't fix it. I can't fix it. One of the things I've learned as a pastor is I can't fix you, and I can't fix me. I can't fix anything. I'm not the fixer. He is. He is. Oh, beloved, this individual shepherding, our identifying with Him, what an assurance. My family, just like you, I'm sure all of you have your favorite places that you love to go in Wyoming. What a glory to God. I give Him glory for 36 plus years now. He's let me be in big, wonderful Wyoming. And He lets my family, and now they're all grown and gone, and now we have number 17 grandchild, and number 18's on the way in October. But we used to go as a whole family, all seven children, and Mom and I, Jenny and I, we used to go, and we used to go to one of our favorite places. We'd go up to the big sandy openings. We'd go up past when you get up to the top, Divide Lake. We'd go past Mirror Lake. We'd go past Mirror Lake and past Dad's Lake, and then we'd make a right just before we got down to Dad's Lake, and we'd walk 3 more miles past the 6 miles until we got up high at about 11,000 feet at our favorite lake, Donald Lake. I love the Donald Lake area. We have camped there even for 2 whole weeks as a family, eating fish until the kids thought there was nothing else to eat, and that's about all there was because we didn't bring much. We just caught fish and ate fish. But how wonderful it was. Maybe you say, I wouldn't do that. Well, we did it, and we enjoyed it. But when I was up at Donald Lake, one of the things I saw over and over was huge flocks of sheep. They would come up into Fish Lake and then come up over the top where they could actually, if they knew it was the cirque, they could have looked down into the cirque from up there and seen it from there. And then they came over the top and raced down with their bells. Some of them had bells on. Run down into that Donald Lake pasture land. And as they would run down there, it was just amazing to see the Pyrenees dogs. And they're just flying. They're flying over the cliffs. They're just, how they make it, I don't know. But they make it down to the pasture land. It's beautiful. But every once in a while, one of the sheep doesn't stay with the flock. I found one sheep in mud, in quicksand, and he was all the way up halfway of his body and legs completely covered. I found another sheep that was by a rushing stream, and the stream was going so fast. And that's why the Lord has to lead us by still waters, because the sheep, they panic. They get up there by that water, and there they don't know what to do, and they can't back up. They just look around, walk away, they'd be fine. But they stand there panicked. I saw that sheep. I couldn't help that sheep. I've seen cast sheep, and I've turned them over because they're on their back with their feet up, and I could be the shepherd, and I could turn them over. But I remember seeing the shepherd come, and when the shepherd came and found that one in the quicksand, he just came up, took his lasso off, and he played rodeo. He just came down and whoosh, threw the lasso around the neck of the sheep. And I thought, he's going to pull the neck right off. And he took the rope, put it over the horn of the saddle. Then he just started moving slowly. And I went, ooh! And I watched that sheep just... He came right out. And then I saw the shepherd as he took that sheep and he just took his hands right down through the mud and he just pulled it all off of him. All the way down, he said, down each leg. And then he began to rub those legs, some feeling back into them. And the sheep just started following him again. Have you ever had God do that to you? You've been caught, and He's found you, and He's brought you back? Oh, what a wonderful Lord we have. But that sheep that was by the river, I couldn't save. I couldn't help him in any way. He's on the other side of the river where I couldn't do anything. There he is, isolated. Soon in the wilderness, a coyote, a bear, a cougar, wolves. They're going to come down and they're going to say, guess what's for dinner? He didn't stay with the flock. He didn't stay with his shepherd. We have the shepherd of all shepherds leading us. If we know Jesus, if we'll only stay identified with Him, if we'll only stay close to Him, if we'll stay close to our shepherd, He's my shepherd, then stay with Him. Then we stay close to His side. Identified with Him and in Him. Another blessing of our shepherd's presence is security. Security. Our security with the Lord as our shepherd. I read in verse 4. I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Wow. What a security to know God's rod is not only there to keep you in line, but to go after the enemy. We sing a song, when I was growing up, we'd sing it in Swedish. And more secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. And there's no more secure place than to be with Him and in Him. But God has appointed two secure means by which we stay identified with Him. First is the rod. The rod. The rod is given to us to comfort us. You see, in America, we don't know what the rod is for. We only know we're against it. Everybody's against the rod. Ever since Dr. Spock, we all know the rod is not good. But God said the rod is good. You can decide who to believe. Dr. Spock, who may have died by now, or God. I'm going to believe God. The rod is good. And I have been intrigued in my studying of the rod by Micah 6:9. Where it says, hear the rod, or heed the rod, and him who appointed it. The word for heed or hear is shama. It means to hear intelligently with attention and obedience. It means give undivided attention. In America, in our homes and in our culture, we shun and we hate the rod of God, or we hate the rod of our parents. We hate it. And the Bible says, he who loves discipline loves knowledge, and he who hates reproof is stupid. And so, America is stupid. We're stupid in our homes. Because Hebrews says, in Hebrews 12:6, that God chastens every son whom He receives, even as a father chastens every son or daughter that he receives. And it says, if we're without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then we're illegitimate children, we're bastards, and not sons. To be without God's loving discipline is to be without His brand, without His seal on our soul. There's a seal on our lives. Our security is our loving discipline by the Lord with His rod. And then there's the staff. The staff is used to nudge the neck of the sheep, to remind the sheep as you come along, hey, you're moving in the wrong direction, come back here. Sometimes the sheep gets over a precipice, over a cliff, and the hook of that staff is just right to reach over as an eagle swooping down and pull him up the slope and away from the danger. We live in a crazy world. I don't know if you realize by now that the last 15 years of American life has been an age of insecurity. Did anybody notice that? Go to the airports. Oh, used to be so much fun to go to the airport. Everybody go to the airport and say goodbye. We could all walk them right up until they walked out the door to the plane. No more. We don't want 9-1-1 to happen again. We don't want the Pentagon to be hit again. We don't want that field in Pennsylvania to happen all over again. We're living in insecure times. We don't want a repeat. But you know what? If you don't want a repeat, then you know what you need to do? You need to take the means of security, the rod of God and the staff of God, take them and kiss them. That's how they comfort me. This is what keeps me identified with the Lord. This is what makes it happen. The Bible says it's for discipline that you endure. Hebrews 12:7. The only reason I'm not dead yet, and I'll die soon one of these days, is God's not through teaching me. That's the reason we endure. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Then I did a crazy thing this week. Trying to find a fresh message, I said, God, maybe I ought to look up what the word comfort means. Pretty simple. Don't look up obvious words. I've never looked it up before. But I looked it up, comfort. To my amazement, I found out what comfort is, and comfort wasn't what I thought it was at all. I thought it meant encouragement, solace, consolation. No. The word for comfort is naham, N-A-C-H-A-M. It is the word for repentance. 41 times in the Old Testament, it's the word for repentance. What is David saying? Thy rod and thy staff, they bring me to repentance. They bring me, what does the word mean? What's the actual meaning of naham? I'll tell you what it is. If you've grown up in a home that's had the rod, you understand what it is. It means to make sorry for sin, to sigh and breathe strongly as you turn from a wrong action to a positive course of action. It means that whether you're a child in a home or whether you are one of God's children whom He'll discipline until the day He takes you home, when He brings the rod and staff into your life, what He is doing, He brings you to a place of tears. And when He brings you to a place of tears, you know what it's like. You know, has anybody ever been there? That's Naham. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sorry I did that. That's comfort. That lets me know that in my family, and in the family of God, God has a means of identity and security by which I know I'm identified with Him. And how do you know you're identified with your parents? There are moments of, and now you realize that's my dad. That's my mom. God wants families and homes in America to be brought to repentance. Do you know any home that doesn't have the rod of God in their home has a neglected family? It's neglect. Josh Groban wrote a song that could well be used when I think of the security of the rod and staff. The first verse of it I really like because I believe it has to do with the rod and staff. He says, "I'll pray You'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer. When we lose our way, lead us to the place, guide us with Your grace to a place where we'll be safe." I love the music to that song. God has to take us from the precipice. He has to take us from going astray. And He has to bring us to and comfort our soul until we found the safe place He has for us. And so we can pray. Prayer and cry of my heart as a sheep. Shepherd of love, do it again for me. Do it for me as often as You need to. Learn on me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me with Your rod and staff. Comfort me. Bring me to repentance. Do it for our flock. Speak to the deepest parts of our soul. Quiet the storms. Take Your hand and lead us past the pain of our past. Past the perplexities of the present. Lead us out of our fears, and I have many of them as You do, and lead us into faith for the future. Identified with You, secure in You, we bless You for the blessing of Your presence, Jesus our Shepherd. Secondly, there's the blessing of our Shepherd's protection. If there's anything I know about sheep and you know about sheep, is sheep are always vulnerable. Sheep are always under attack. There's always some animal trying to get them, and that's why they have these great big Pyrenees dogs. Let me tell you, I'm honestly saying this. I fear for your life if you walk up to a flock of sheep that are around here in Wyoming. You've heard me say it. I'm saying it to you honestly. Drive up in your car. Take your pictures. Don't walk up. You will be attacked by a Pyrenees, and he may not let you go. I'm serious. They're vicious. Why? They're protecting the flock that are constantly under assault. Now, God has three coverings for those whom He shepherds. And I want to give you three coverings. The first one is the blessing of strong courage, then the blessing of refuge, and then the blessing of His anointed healing. Number one, the first protective covering is the blessing of His strong courage. Notice, even though, verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Anyone that knows about the lowlands knows that the grass in the lowlands isn't anything like the grass in the highlands. The lush grass is way up there by Atlantic Peak. It's way up high. It's way high. How do you get there? It necessitates that you walk through the dark valleys. To make it to the place where verse 5 says, God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies in that lush grass where we lie down in green pastures, verse 2. And He leads us beside the little tiny quiet streams where He leads us in paths of righteousness. You know, as we are going up the mountain to the high pasture land, every mountain has valleys. Every mountain. I don't care which mountain it is. Mountains have valleys, ravines, gulches, draws, ditches, and the best way to the top is to follow where the water runs. To follow the valley. And guess where the predators are? That's where the predators are. There's a confined place. There's a chance for them to get their dinner. And so, as you go through the dark valley of the shadow, have you ever been walking up in a valley and you're out hunting, and as you walk up the valley, you see bones? There's bones. Here's bones over here. Why are there bones in the valley? Because that's where the predator gets his meat, is in the valley. And we have to go through the dark shadows. And mountain lions there on the granite ledge are looking for a defenseless lamb. Along the valleys are the remains of sheep that didn't make it. The valleys are the valleys of the shadow of death. And every one of the valleys you're going through, whether it's a terminal disease that you're fighting, or whether it's some kind of a marital problem, or whether it's a financial thing and your house is in foreclosure, I don't care what it is. Perhaps you're facing divorce. Perhaps you're facing a problem with your child that's totally out of control and not under discipline. Whatever that valley is, it's a dark shadow. It's a dark valley. God is with you. Don't fear. He's with you. He'll take you through. And then we'll come to the last valley. As we come to the last valley, wow, it's the valley of the shadow of death. Everyone that's gone before us, every saint that's ever gone before us has made it through the valley of the shadow of death, and we'll make it too. But it's a place of dread. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not interested in dying. The dying part doesn't interest me a bit. And I'm sure all of you have that same understanding. Dying kind of hurts. It is the final release. We've held on to life all these years. And now there'll come a time when we have to let go. And God says, come on home. But I want you to know, when that time comes, we'll be taken by our shepherd from earth to heaven, from sorrow to joy, from pain to gladness, from courage to His light and loving arms. What makes us not be afraid? We're not alone in the valley of the shadow of death. Why? I'm not afraid. It's strong courage, for you are with me. There's a second protective covering. It's the blessing of refuge. Notice verse 5. Here's the refuge, and it doesn't look like a refuge. But how many of you know about the elk refuge up in Jackson? They don't have a fence around it. They just got the elk out there. There they are. They're out there in this huge valley. There they are. It's a refuge. It's a refuge from the storms, from the snows, from the wolves. Oh yeah, they're always waiting for one of those to die. But there's a protection there amongst all the others. We've been up to Donald Lake, I told you. Shepherds bring their sheep up there. They bring them up to Fish Lake. They come down flying over the mountain into that place. And then they come into the tall, lush grass. And when they get down there, they just frolic. They just frolic in the grass. They lay down in the grass. They go to the little tiny stream that comes out of Donald Lake. They're just all over. Sometimes they're eating. Sometimes they're resting. They're just having a ball. It's a beautiful place. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Enemies. Yes. No longer the valley. No longer the critical place for the enemy to get us. And he is a prowling. He is a roaring lion going about, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's got his eyes peeled for you. He's looking for you. There's the wolf. There's the cougar looking for you. And he wants to get you. And he knows where you're vulnerable. And he knows how to get you. But the Lord's our shepherd. And He brings us into this wide open place. And there are the big Pyrenees dogs. We'll talk about in a moment. Surely goodness and mercy. Those are the big Pyrenees dogs. They're there. They're watching us. They're watching our backside. Well, follow me. There is God's mercy as He gives us His delicious food on heaven's tableland. So we sing. We don't even know what we're singing. Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's Psalm 23. David, as he pens this, the Lord has prepared a table for him. How often David had done the very same thing for his sheep. And he's rejoicing that God's his shepherd and he's helped him. And he's helped him so he will eat and drink and rejoice, even though the predator eye is watching all over. Right here in the presence of our enemies is our refuge. This is where we find our nourishment. Here's where we eat and drink and sleep to our heart's content. This is where we don't have to worry about the intruder. This past Monday evening, I came home and I was weeding my garden. I did it all day yesterday. You say you got a lot of weeds. I got a big garden. Yes, I still got some more to do. But as I was weeding the garden, I have this problem with my thumb. You can examine it if you want to. It was bleeding. And I had to go inside and I walked through the bedroom to get into the bathroom to get a Band-Aid to put on it. And as I was doing this, I noticed the patio door was shattered. We had an intruder. Called the police. And they only got through half of it because it's way far from here to here. There's one of those thermal kind of things. And they got through this and then something scared them. I think it was the dog. I think it was Panda. Started barking. But last night at 10 o'clock, a little after 10, Leanne and Nathaniel, my son, called from Phoenix. They had been at a friend's house. They got a call from the landlord. And they said, we've been broken into as well. And they got there and they called me afterwards. They have over $5,000 worth of stuff. All his stuff for seminary, papers, you name it. All the stuff he's working on. His computers, two computers gone. Many stuff. It's all gone. It's just gone. And all I can say is, the police said to me, he said, preacher, we'll take care of you. He says, we'll have a double watch on this corner. We'll come up our street and we'll go back down through that alley. We'll do it over and over. He was a good man. He was a nice fellow. We talked probably for an hour and a half. Witnessed to him. We had just a great time. But you know what? When I went to bed that night, I wasn't counting on the police coming by once every 6 hours or something. You know what I was waiting on? I was waiting on God says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He had his eyes open. He'd be watching over me. I'd be okay. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He gives us strong courage. He gives us a refuge. And thirdly, the third protective covering is the blessing of God's anointed healing. This is the verse, part of the psalm I like the best, I think. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. How beautiful. Anointing sheep kills off the bugs. It kills off the parasites. It heals diseased legs. It's not just sheep that need the anointed healing of the Master's touch, is it, Richard? You came up here to say anointed healing is even available in our church. And God even works sometimes through the elders when people say, pray over us. But I want you to know, you don't just have to have the elders pray for you to have the Lord touch you with His anointed healing. It can happen right there in your bathroom, in your bedroom. It can happen at work. Wherever you are, we need the Master's touch. When God heals us and our cup of living water that He's poured into us is filled to the brim and it's running over, it's because of what He did for us at Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon Him and by His stripes we're healed. And there's a cup of suffering that He says, are you ready to drink this? He said to His disciples, they said, we are able. They weren't able. They couldn't even stay awake in Gethsemane. They fled when He went to the cross. But because He took that cup, He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. He took that cup and He drank it to the uttermost for you and for me. And when He drank it to the uttermost, He has more to pour in you than you'd ever know. My wife has a little sign. She's been gone 3 weeks. She'll be home Thursday, Lord willing. Water all these plants. Do all these different little chores. So, I just do all these little chores, honey-do things. And I fill up a gallon, and I go out there, and I do this, and it runs out, and I have to go back and get more water, and go back and water. You don't have to do that with God. When He pours out, as long as you want Him to pour, you can stay in the shower as long as you want with God. He keeps pouring it on. He just keeps pouring it on. He keeps filling and filling and filling and filling. If you need His filling, and I do. Each of us get wounded on the journey of life. We need to drink from that cup until we overflow. In fact, only those that drink from this overflowing cup that He pours out know salvation. Do you need His touch today? Do you need Him to pour out on you His anointing and healing, His overflowing cup? In times of loss and trouble and trial and sickness and sorrow, we do. But this week, on Thursday, I asked Him to pour out on me, and He did. Last night, after midnight, I asked Him to pour out on me, and He did. There's just more of His anointing. There's just more of His cup than you'd ever know. I can't make it alone without His anointing. I can't make it without His outpoured cup. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I did afresh this week. God poured His Spirit afresh on me. He'll pour out His Spirit on you. Holy Spirit, fill me. With Thy Spirit, fill me. Oh, may we call on the Holy Spirit of God to fill us as our shepherd. Last of all, there's the blessing of His presence, the blessing of His protection. Last of all, there's the blessing of our shepherd's pathway, pasture, and pilgrimage. Our shepherd Himself is the path. But He says He leads us in beside still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us in paths of righteousness. But John says that Jesus said to us, in case you wonder where the way is, and the way is narrow, He says in Matthew 7, the way is narrow, but then He says, in case you can't find it, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I found places I couldn't find the trail, haven't you? And I knew it was up there, but He is the way. He is the way. Our shepherd is our guide, our restorer, and our covenant mercy, our faithful hesed. Let's look at His guidance. He's our guide. We have a destination. We're going somewhere. We're not just out here in the pastures. We're just not on the path. We're on a pilgrimage. Where are we going? Well, let's look at verse 6. It says, and I shall dwell where? In the house of the Lord forever. I'm going home. We have a destination. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what those two mammoth white Pyrenees dogs are doing. It's goodness and mercy. They're behind me. They're making sure I don't get in the wrong way. And God's up ahead of me. God has got me surrounded. I'm protected by the shepherd and his sheepdogs. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's going before me. He's guarding me. Our shepherd is taking us. He's on His way to take us from droughts, a place of droughts and famines and wars and tsunamis and earthquakes and fires and flood and a moon as red as blood. He is taking us to a table spread called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'm going home. And the rapture is soon to occur. He's coming for me. He's coming for His flock. He knows the way. I don't care where you're at. I don't care the labyrinth you're in. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. He made this world. He knows about the wilderness. Our shepherd knows. He knows as a guide. He knows when you're too weary to go on. He knows in ministry when you can't do one more thing. And He says, lie down in green pastures, verse 2. Drink beside still waters. Let me restore your soul. Maybe you've never been there. I've been there many times. He knows I get weary. He knows my fears, rushing streams. He leads me beside still waters. He wants us to come apart and rest a while. So if you're going on vacation, it's biblical. He is taking you on a pathway. Jim and Ruby, He took you on a pathway, didn't He? And I bet He took you to some pastures. But it's a pilgrimage. He wants us to come apart and rest a while. Lie down in green pastures. not to eat, but to just rest. He wants us to steal away to Him in the early morning hours before the sun comes up over the mountain. He wants us to get alone in the still, the cool mornings. He wants to call us to be still and know that He is God and He's guiding. And He's the restorer of our soul. Verse 3, He restores my soul. How can God do that? He does it in my personal devotions in the morning. He can do it through other means. What other means, Pastor? Well, He can do so in times of meditation, as I've chewed on it in the day. He can do it on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, as you come to church and you listen to the message. He can restore your soul. One of the ways He can work in your life is He can send you for special counsel. If you'll just do what a man said to me this morning, a man said, I need to come in and talk to you this week. He can use that to restore your soul. Dear Jesus, restore our souls. He can do it when we come to the Lord's table. Grace that restores is His gift. He can restore us through repentance, through loving discipline, with His rod and staff. He can restore us with His anointing oil and His overflowing cup. But being restored is crucial for the next leg of the journey. Because if I'm going to make it all the way home, I've got to be restored. And all the way along, about three times I've almost tripped over this thing. And if I would have tripped, I would have needed to have my soul and probably my body restored. I want you to understand, folks, we need to be restored. Lastly, our shepherd is our hesed. H-E-S-E-D is the Hebrew word. It's the word for surely goodness and mercy. It's His loving kindness. Every waking, sleeping moment of our day, His glorious covenant love flows from His triune presence all the days of our life. Without my renewal, by His mercy, without His rod and staff, I would stray. My default mode would come back into operation. Without God's renewal, without His restoration. You say, you got a default mode? I do. You do too. I was born in sin, and sin my mother conceived me. I have sin in my life, and God's still dealing with it. He'll deal with it to the day I die. And if I don't have Him restore my soul, I will go back to the old things of the past. I'll go back to them. And so I need His hesed. I need His covenant love and faithfulness. The pathways and the pastures, however, are part of a pilgrimage. I'm on my way someplace. I'm on my way home. Those big Pyrenees dogs, they know where they're taking me. My shepherd knows where he's taking me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. You say, you're going to the temple of God. Well, yes, His temple is there and He is the temple. But you know what? My DNA and your DNA. Men, when you're done at the day and the day is over and the work is done, where do you want to go? Anybody know where you want to go? Where? Home. When your life is over and you go through the valley of the shadow of death, where do you want to go? Home. I want to go home. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're meant for home. We're just like migrating geese. You know, you say, aren't you the pastor of this church? Yeah, I'm one of the lead geese. But this week, Michelle is the lead goose. I just work here. She's the lead goose. Why is she the lead goose? Because when you're migrating and you're on your way home, nobody can lead all the time. Sometimes one falls back and another one comes out in front. That's God's will. Where are we heading? We're heading home. We're heading home. So, kiss the path that you're on. Kiss the still waters and the anointing oil that He restores your soul. Kiss the rod and staff. Kiss the path of righteousness. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Good Shepherd. Because there's nothing like this life. There's nothing like this pilgrimage. We have His presence. We have His protection. We have His pathway. He is the pathway. We have His pastures. What a wonderful pastor we have. And what a pilgrimage. I'm going home. You might want to say something with me at the end, just because you can and you know it. I just had some thoughts that maybe you'd like to share with me. If you know them, you can say them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bow your heads. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Church, God wants to restore His church. He isn't into having us say, Lord, I want You as my Savior, period. No, He wants us to say, I want You as my Savior, but I want You as my Shepherd. My Shepherd. Shepherd of love. He's calling us to follow Him as His, as our Shepherd. If you're here today and you say, I know I'm saved, but I'm not sure I'm really letting Him shepherd me. Maybe you just need to say, pray for me, preacher. I'm saved, but I need Him to shepherd me. And I haven't been letting Him in my life. Not been shepherding me much, yes, sir. Just have the courage to say it. I need shepherding. I need to let Him do it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I need Him to shepherd me. I don't want to just act like the world. I don't want people to think I'm just part of the world. I want them to see that the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Father, You see these that have raised hands. Shepherd us, dear Jesus. And now before we go home, is there anyone here that would say, I just need Him to be my shepherd, my own, individually. I need Him to come into my life and save me. I need Him to come in and shepherd me. I need to be saved. I need to pass from death into life. I need to be born again. And if you're willing to repent of your sin, believe and receive Jesus, He's ready to come into your life. I wonder how many would raise a hand and say, that's my need, preacher. I'll share a prayer right where you are. You can pray it quietly. I want Jesus as my Savior. Would you give your life to Him? Would you raise your hand? I need Jesus as my Savior. Slip up your hand right now. Yes, there's one. Are there others? I need Jesus as my Savior. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? I need Jesus as my Savior. Put up your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. Thank You, sir. Anyone else? I want Jesus as my Savior. Okay, pray this prayer and just say, Lord, I want You to be my shepherd. I'm lost without You. I'm a sinner. I'm a lost sheep. You died for me. Please forgive my sins. Please rescue me. Please make me Your child. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive You by faith. Guard me with Your surely goodness and mercy. Be my shepherd. Live in my heart by faith through Your Holy Spirit. I'll live for You the rest of my life. And then I'll dwell in Your house forever. If you prayed that prayer in Jesus' name, would you let me know? I want to be able to follow You up and help You grow in Christ. Now, Father, thank You for the blessing of Your presence here. Thank You for restoring our souls. Now, by the grace of God, take us on our way rejoicing. Let us come back tonight to hear the word of the Lord, to be shepherded again. We need Your shepherding. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.